Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
A shack of mystery to beat conspiracies to curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my fightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. To our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Welcome back to the shack.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur. And we're back.
We're back.
For another week of fantastic wonders and wild inspiration from within being released through the shack. The shack is merely a vessel of truth.
Truth.
A medium for logic to be expressed.
Expressed.
It is a symbol of hope.
Hope.
There you go. That's all I got for right now. That's what the shack represents. And you know, if you're listening to the shack, you represent the shack. Because if you're here and you're still listening, you get it. And you're part of the, you're ingraining yourself with shack DNA. It's slowly converting, and that's good. It's a good thing.
Converting.
Yes, converting.
Oh, I found a placard for a northern hog sucker that what? I kind of want.
A placard? Yeah, well, okay. For what, the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You don't see enough love for the northern hog sucker.
No, you do not.
The fish biologist's goth girlfriend, what we always called it.
The fish biologist's goth girlfriend.
We just always call it the goth girlfriend.
Why? Because?
Because when it has protractile lips. So, you know, it's like any sucker, the lips go in and out.
Okay.
But when they come out, they're all black.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
So it has like black lipstick, it looks like.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's just more of a joke.
That makes more sense.
It just has black lips.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with the goth.
Oh, so everybody, I mean, it just it always gets called the goth girlfriend.
Easily identifiable.
Because everybody loves them, as far as if you're in the fisheries field.
Right, yeah.
They're just nice fish.
They're
really odd for even most other suckers, too.
Okay.
They have a really, like, oversized head.
Hmm.
And they have a horseshoe between their eyes, but their eyes are on top of their head.
Hmm.
They're just, they look like a, you ever seen a cat shark?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know. They're in aquariums and zoos.
Like, I've watched cat dog.
Yeah. The cat sharks, a lot of times that's like one of the like horn sharks that they let you pet in the aquariums and stuff like that.
Okay.
They have really oversized heads.
Okay. I don't know.
And, but they just look odd. Even for the standard of their family group, they just look really odd.
Fair. All right.
No, what are we talking about?
Sorry about choked.
Where you died there.
We are going to discuss the compound.
The compound. The
compound's happening. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the works.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving the shack.
Everything.
We talk about moving the shack all the time, like metaphorically, but this time it's
metaphysically.
Yeah, probably. We're going to quantumly entangle it with another location and poof it over there.
Quantumly entangled super particles.
Right. Also known as the shack walls. They're always quantumly entangled with superparticles. It's just because all the truth bouncing in and out of the walls in here, they absorb some of it.
Is that why it's so hot in here?
Yeah, it is hot today. And it's not even hot outside. It just rained.
It's because the ceiling's full of copper to keep the government out.
Yeah, well.
This is probably the one room in the shack that they cannot listen to us.
We're going to have to move the ceiling.
Gosh. If anybody ever found out that it was full of copper, they would break in and just start ripping it out.
Shoot, man. That'll up the value in your home, actually.
The shack.
Well, I mean, we're moving out of the shack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're looking at buying a big chunk of property together.
Just some barren land out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And develop it into a...
I don't know. I don't think barren's right. I think... But land... Undeveloped land.
There you go.
Barren gives an idea, like, you say barren, I think of, like, a rock field.
That's basically all it is right now.
I mean, it's just an underdeveloped farm field, but...
Right, yeah, yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Right, which is the way we need it to
be. I love it. Yeah. I love it. We went and looked at it today.
It's got to be isolated to keep... so we can put up the walls to keep them out.
I grew up where you couldn't really see neighbors.
Yeah.
You know? And if... And my mom would just let us go out, and it did not matter. You knew we were not making it anywhere, like, to get hurt.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, to get hit by a car or to go bug a neighbor.
That stuff. Yeah, you're more likely to get picked up by a coyote or something.
Now, we did see coyotes.
Yeah.
But we always tried to hunt them with sticks.
Hmm. You just go after them.
We were basically little cavemen.
Yeah, that's really the way you gotta be.
That and...
Primitive living.
Did I ever tell you about the time with the turtle?
I don't know.
Okay, so... My babysitter, the last time she ever babysat us.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm probably 7.
Okay.
So my brother's 5.
Okay.
There was a giant... So we told our babysitter there was a turtle. Could we go catch it and put it in... We had like a little plastic baby pool.
Uh-huh.
So like, could we go put it in the baby pool? We want to show mom and dad when they get home. And she's like, I guess, go ahead. Because my mom basically told her, yeah, they're feral. Like, they can run around everywhere.
Yeah.
They're okay. It was a gigantic
snapping turtle.
I mean, bigger than us.
Yeah.
Because it took both of us dragging it by its tail up the driveway.
Yeah.
And we dragged it and dragging it, snapping, trying to bite us. Bite us. And my brother just kept slapping him.
Uh-huh. Like,
go back in there.
Yeah.
And then my babysitter seen what we were dragging was freaking out. Keep my, it's probably, I'm 7. It's definitely bigger, like definitely bigger than me.
Yeah.
And we put it in the baby pool and it's just trying to bite us. And we go inside and we get a bunch of shrimp or catfishing out of the deep freezer and just start feeding it. And by the end of it, he was just eating shrimp and hot dogs.
Oh, so he was content.
He calmed down a little bit.
Did your mom and dad see it?
No. And here's what happened.
Oh.
And she was freaking out. The babysitter, like, this thing's going to kill us.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get us to release it. And we're like, we will as soon as mom and dad see it.
Right, yeah.
We're just going to show mom and dad, and then we're going to put him back in the creek.
Right. Oh, you got him out of Hog Creek?
No, I Creek.
Okay, okay.
We got him out of a creek.
Gotcha.
He was living his life in a creek. But what was I saying? Oh, and they pulled in and we ran around the corner to show him. And by the time we ran back, it was gone.
Oh, so he got out and
bolted. And took off.
Yeah, he saw his chance.
Yeah.
You got these caveman kids holding you captive.
feeding them shrimp and hot dogs for like 2 hours.
It's fattening them up. You're buttering them up for a barbecue.
One animal I'd never eat.
So good, though. If it's cooked right, it's so good.
It's just a personal thing.
I know, but oh my gosh, it's so good. I'm...
You're literally making me queasy.
I just...
So what are we going to do? What's the plans?
The plans
for this
compound. Mm-hmm. Self-sustainability. Yeah, I mean, growing your own food, sourcing your own, everything we talk about here on the Shack.
Within 3 years is my goal.
Yeah.
To have a fully self-sustaining, as in we don't
system
need to buy anything.
Right. No more purchasing chemical-laced supermarket foods anymore. Mm-hmm. We are becoming the supermarket, personally.
Yeah.
That's the biggest goal, I think, is... having our own food supply, our own water supply, you know, eventually.
Oh, we will. I mean, that's actually the first thing I got to pay for.
Right. Yeah. As well, which
I'm paying for that stuff. You're getting the land.
Yeah. That might be a pretty good deal for me. Maybe. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I mean, I'm not fully paying for everything.
No.
But that, and the, in the workings.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a lot of effort, but you know, it's worth doing.
Yeah, as long as, depending on how fast everything goes this year,
mm-hmm.
We may have livable space out there before winter.
We may.
I think it's possible. It's more depending on the county's speed.
Yeah.
Than our personal speed mm-hmm. with the person we're getting it off of and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely more on surveying and the chemical testing, the soil testing.
Right.
All that stuff.
Jumping through all the hoops we got to jump through to mm-hmm. live life.
Because I'm going to borrow. So we're going to, the goal is my compound, or I guess the homing, is either trailers or many homes. Figured we'll do them either in a straight line
mm-hmm.
or an L.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have our garage in the middle.
Right, yeah.
We're basically going to build a duplex for both. Because you don't have kids yet, but that's, you know, a plan.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah.
Might need a girl around first.
I mean, just...
That helps.
Go get you an Amish or a Mennonite.
If any Amish...
I know two Mennonites available.
Ooh. Well, if there's any other available listening to the show, any Amish out there listening...
Oh, Amish don't believe in radios, and I don't think Mennonites believe in radios.
No, I was kind of joking.
Oh.
But if any of them are listening, you know, maybe you're the special... Maybe this is for you.
I mean... At least Mennonites can use technology.
Right, yeah. Bit. I'd say if you are listening and you hear this message, you're meant to hear it. It's a sign.
Submit applications below.
Yeah.
But no, we just want a place where all the stuff we've talked about, and it'll all be filmed.
Yeah, that's another big goal is a documenting.
How to do it.
Dang it. Documenting it, yes. How to do it so you guys know at home, and then so you can just follow along the journey and
our
be there with us.
Our successes.
Right, oh yeah, oh yeah. All of it, all of the above. Because we're not only just growing our own food with the plants and whatnot, year-round even, but having growing our own livestock too.
So yeah, I mean, which thing do you just want to tell them everything we're planning, or how do you want to do it?
Well, I mean, from everything from chickens and quail, like we always talk about.
Yeah, let's start with quail.
Yeah.
So that's the birds and the goats are definitely the first livestocks to go in.
Yes.
Because we plan on building a quail coop. I want to do one for probably 100 or 200 birds.
You got space.
Yeah, I mean, the space isn't an issue.
We could easily do it.
It's actually selling that many eggs.
Or eating them or turning them into stuff to sell, I guess.
And then we talk about freeze-drying them and packaging them and stuff like that.
Freeze-drying, pickling them.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you mean the eggs or the meat?
The eggs.
Oh, yeah, gosh. Imagine, like...
And jarring them up. Because we're going to dig a big root cellar
for
all the cans and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at design, so I'm a big fan of cinder block buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else listening is. So all of the individual, like, goat sheds, emu sheds, and even the chicken coop, the mm-hmm. base of it, I mm-hmm. plan on, I don't know about you, because we got to talk about everything, but plan on build most of those out of cinder block mm-hmm. with, like, a metal roof.
Yeah.
For me, cinder block hold heat well. They're very sturdy. Like, I'm not worried about a cinder block shed disappearing in a tornado.
Right, yeah.
If you lock your goat in there, your goat will probably be there.
Right.
Because we build a lot of stuff out of cinder block, and they're cheap. Go get 3 or 4 pallets of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much a pallet of them is. They're like $1 a piece.
I don't even know anymore. Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, I just bought some for something, but...
And we'll just keep looking on Facebook Marketplace, too.
Oh, you can find...
Bricks, and yeah, I got bricks from there. I think you were... Didn't you go pick them up with me mm-hmm. that one time? Yeah, so I still got them. Big pile of bricks. I don't know what I need them for, but I knew I'm going to need them eventually. Now I think it's coming to fruition.
So the root cellar, we're going to get an excavator. We got an excavator and a Bobcat. Basically, we're just going to go as far as we can with the Bobcat. How you build them with... like cinder blocks. It's very simple. You're just basically digging down to about 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it really, 6-7 feet. And then start digging it out with the excavator, make it flat and square, like a ramp,
mm-hmm.
put an edge door on it, and then just put your shelves in there. There's your canned goods storage.
All right, that's it.
Or anything. You want to put just potatoes. So if you're going to do onions, potatoes, all that stuff, you just pick them, put them in there. The onions, you're supposed to leave the
dry.
And then leave the skin on them,
mm-hmm.
the crunchy skin.
Right, yeah.
It just protects them.
And they need airflow.
Yeah, and you just put a little fan in the top.
So, you don't want them bunched on top of each other.
And then I also would, right next to it, if you're open to it, do in the mushroom house the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got ideas, too, for that, with doing a root cellar greenhouse skill mm-hmm. combo one.
That I'm excited for. Like, you're talking about, the half-buried...
Yeah, greenhouse, for a year-round greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of that, because you need, They say to build those, you want to put, a cold sink in it. So, a deep trough, so the cold air can settle down into it. And then down in that... And then also, that's where you drain all your water out of it, too. Mm-hmm. So, it's sudden flood. But down in that trough where it's cold and that's where the water's all drained to... That's where down in that area is where you'd build your mushroom growing spot, I guess.
Oh, that's pretty deep. You're talking deep.
I mean, kind of just 2-3 feet, waist high.
I guess how deep is
the cold sink?
No, everything.
Well, the wall.
How deep do you? Is it a wallapini?
Wallapini is the name. That's the native name for the sunken greenhouse or the in-ground greenhouse.
Is it just plastic on the ribs, or what do you?
Yeah, you keep plastic. Windows, whatever you want.
Okay,
to use.
I didn't know
anything to let light in and keep the heat in. Yeah,
to build one.
Whatever greenhouse material you use, you just keep the north side of it, buried. That's the buried side, because obviously, sun's coming in from that way. Oh, yeah, there's all sorts of ways to do it. And then...
What would you want to put in the wallapini?
Whatever we can grow year-round.
Are you wanting more tropical stuff?
Well, we could, yeah.
I'm asking you.
I mean, I don't know yet.
So stuff with,
Or stuff we just need year-round.
Yeah, I mean, you can do anything in them. The people I've seen do stuff with them are, for our region, they'll do tropical stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
Even most art, most tropical stuff, or roughly tropical, will survive 40 and 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't survive 32.
But with it being sunken, it's a lot easier to maintain that heat in there. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. There's a guy in Missouri, I think, that farmer Noel guy, he has sunken greenhouses basically running all the way throughout his yard. And he grows lemon trees and just all sorts of tropical fruit in Missouri.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to find his. We'll get inspiration.
I would love to have a type of citrus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need it. We don't get scurvy.
I don't think we're going to get scurvy.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I do have pirate DNA.
I can see it.
Yep. So I'm susceptible to scurvy.
Susceptible to scurvy.
But, yep. So.
You ever seen Jeremy Clarkson's Mushroom Tunnel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We watched it on.
Did we?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's. Overproducing.
I want a mini one of those.
Okay, yeah, that'd be doable.
Yeah, I mean, I literally just copy the root cellar again, and then do it like that.
Or just once you get down so far, you just extend it straight like an underground tunnel.
Secret tunnel.
I'm all for secret tunnels.
Secret tunnel.
If we have if there's an elaborate series of secret tunnels that's uncovered one day, it wasn't me.
We got to call Tunnel Girl.
Yeah, I know. Maybe she can submit an application.
Gosh.
Tunnel Girl.
She may be a little too reckless for me.
I'm fine with that. I can rein it in.
Her neighbor's house will start sinking.
Hey, we need that.
I mean, I love the idea and everything.
We could acquire a whole lands doing that.
Like radon.
What?
Like she didn't know about radon there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, digging into it. Yeah.
Comments were like... radon's a radioactive gas that'll just kill you.
You need a canary. That's what we need. So we got to invest in a canary.
It's just quails. Just put a quail in your pocket whenever it dies.
Right. Yeah. You better get out of there. Yeah. So, yeah. But quail, chicken.
A bunch of breeds of chicken.
A bunch of breeds of chicken for eggs, meat, and fancy feathers.
A lot of fancies. Yeah. I used to have like 500 chickens, and I had a lot of egg production mutts, because you could make your own mutts that produce eggs.
Well, yeah, really, pump really out well. Eggs. Mm, yeah.
But also designer heritage breeds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very partial to my Polish. But there's also like Lakenvelders, white-faced black Spanish I really enjoy.
Ooh. Capricorns.
I like Capricorns.
Yeah.
They're Polish.
Okay. There we go.
I mean, Polish is like a big group of chickens.
Right. With the pom-pom heads.
Yeah.
That's what I call them.
And obviously Lisa wants a flock of silkies.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can't not have that. We'll have to eat one for every special occasion.
There you go. And then just having runs for those goats.
Goat?
I'm getting the goats here, and I'll have them bred. So when they give birth in the spring or the late winter, by the time they're ready to go out, we'll should have at least a rough pasture built for them and everything right. like that.
And with kids on the way.
Yeah, or they'll have kids here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Or out there, depends on how far we get.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know the gestation period on a goat.
5 months.
Okay, fair. That seems right.
It's about 5 months.
Feels right. I have no idea.
It's 5 months.
Okay.
It's pigs are 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days.
Okay. Pigs, and then eventually some cows.
Yeah, we talk about mini Highlands. So, I mean, you said pigs. So the two types of goats we're interested in are the Nigerians, because they're meat and dairy, and then Nubians, because they're the best dairy goat there is.
Okay.
They're up there. I mean, pound per pound, they definitely produce more milk than cows.
Gotcha.
I mean, just for their body size.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And if you get a good line, like if you spend the money and get good genetic lines for Nubians, like we used to do that, where our dot line was like, what was the name of the first one? Was great. I mean, they call them bags, but it's the udder.
Okay.
So if you ever hear anybody refer to it as a bag, that's what they're talking about.
They're talking about the udder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, you know, it sounds weird to somebody that's not into the goats or anything like that.
Okay.
But like extremely niche bags, basically
It's
the area where the milk is held and produced inside the udder.
Right.
Because when you butcher them or cut them up or whatever, it's just a bag. So they call it bags.
Might start using that term for other things.
Hey,
lady, nice bags. She's like, huh? Your groceries act, I swear.
Yeah.
Nice bags.
But I love Nubians. They're just big, dumb dogs. Big, floppy ears.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, I may buy one this weekend. I don't know.
Okay, let's just one step at a time.
All right. It's hard. Going to an auction.
I know. Still, one step at a time.
So those are the pigs.
You mentioned pigs. You said pigs.
Lisa would like a potbelly pig. She's always wanted one.
Yeah.
I don't care. They got space for them. They're just big, dumb grease balls. They're not dumb. They're actually very intelligent.
Oh, pigs can be, yeah.
Especially potbellies.
My grandma had one as a pet. It was
a
like
potbelly
a dog.
Or a normal pig?
Probably a normal pig.
Yeah, I mean, all pigs are very intelligent.
Great grandma did not like it in the house, and they would sneak it in, and then she'd be mad.
We had goats and chickens and everything in our house growing up.
Yeah.
Pigs never. We never allowed a pig in our house.
Because
the pigs always try to eat us.
This was just one pig, she said, that would just somehow.
I mean, you get like a pet that's like
one of
like
them,
Wilbur or whatever.
Yep. One of them bonded with them all and it was a dog. It became a dog. That's what pigs do. They either go in the wild and become feral boars or
they become dogs.
Domesticated dogs.
But we want to do the Mangaleses.
Or the fuzzy or.
They're woolly.
Pigs.
They're woolly pigs. It's called wool. It is wool.
Okay.
And it was used for clothes forever. I mean, they are specifically bred.
Bring it back.
For wool and fat.
Right, yeah.
So they are, in the 70s, the U.S. here lost a lot in the pork industry. Because, you know, what did they always, do you remember growing up, what were they calling pork?
The other white meat.
The other white meat. So they started selecting breeds.
With no fat?
With as little fat as they could.
Right, yeah.
And in the 70s, bacon was not nearly as popular as it is now.
Oh, wow.
And, like, fatty parts of the pig were not nearly as popular.
Yeah.
It shifted away.
Because,
you know, we started using seed oils and not lard.
Gosh, yeah.
So we want to do these guys for lard and meat production, right, and wool.
I mean, bacon fat is so good.
My great-grandmother would have slapped you silly if she seen you dump bacon grease.
Yeah, I know, right? It's good and good for you. You ever had bacon grease salad dressing?
No, but I would.
Oh, so it's like a hot dressing from bacon grease.
I don't like salad. I like the bacon juice.
Well, it basically makes salad taste like bacon, and it's so good. Oh, yeah. It's so good. I haven't had that. My grandma used to make it.
So if anybody on here breeds Mangalisa pigs, let us know.
Yeah, we're interested. Oh, yeah, especially if you're in the shack territory.
I would drive for, they're a rarer breed.
Well, relatively close to shack.
Yeah, I would drive quite a distance for a starter herd of Mangalisa.
That'd be neat.
Cows, Lisa wants the mini Highlands.
That'd be cool.
They're really expensive. That may be a birthday present years down the road.
Right, yeah, yeah. We'll build up to the cows.
We'll probably just get a Dexter to start.
We'll just, right. Get one from the neighbors.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Just buy a baby Dexter. Mm-hmm. Just walk it over.
Yeah, that'll be feasible.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
Emus.
Again, down the line.
No.
Reiforms.
That'll be probably the first big thing I buy.
Is it emu?
Yeah, I've wanted them for so long.
Now, are them like for egg production?
Yeah, you eat them for eggs. People eat them too.
And just eat the emu?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big bird.
So
who's going to process that?
I mean, it's normally a specialty product.
Okay.
So I know like emu jerky is really popular.
Oh, yeah.
Emus sell for, their whole carcasses sell for a lot.
I would hope so. That's a big bird.
I mean, even more so, not per pound,
like relatively, yeah. Or per pound, it's extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like for smoking competitions, barbecue things, family gatherings, it's like a high, like when people buy whole alligators to smoke.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Imagine having a smoker big enough to fit a whole emu carcass, like not quartered or nothing.
Yeah,
full.
That's how they do them.
Oh, that's awesome.
But they only take 6 months. Oh, they only take 6 months to get to butcher size.
Huh. Pretty fast for a bird.
They're
that
faster
big.
Than turkeys.
Wow, that's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean
that's wild.
They grow fast because they have a lot of predators and a lot of competition. Okay, so they have to.
Got
to
get big fast. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Maybe a pair of ostriches down the line. I've always loved ostriches. I was set up to get a pair of ostriches one time, a sexed pair,
mm-hmm.
and it was the weekend my grandma died, so we ended up not going and getting them.
Ah.
I remember I finally broke my mom down that. We were getting this pair. I had either. It because it was through, it was like through email. I had to talk to this lady.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. Like, we were going to a poultry show. She had them. And I had the money and had it set up. And then, never got them.
It wasn't meant to be then.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't ready for them.
Well, no, because we ended up moving out of the
See?
The country, like, the next year.
See?
We would have brought him in here with us.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
You just 8 foot tall head poking over the fence.
It would have not been good. I think the neighbors, or at least somebody, would have said something.
Like, yeah, it's a dog.
That bird's blocking my view of the road. Gosh. That's why I pulled out in front of you, officer.
I can't wait to not have her. Did I tell you I got another somebody looking in my yard again?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, out there, I'll shoot you.
Are they peeking through the fence or over it?
Well, they're not that tall. The fence is 8 foot tall.
Well, I didn't know if they're climbing up. You know, peek
over. They were like...
Yeah, just trying to peek through. See what's going on back there. Mm-hmm. It is annoying. And, you know, it's probably harmless, but at the
you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
I grew up in a place where if I seen... First off, if somebody walked down to our driveway...
Gosh, yeah.
My dad would go out with a gun and go talk to him.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've had... I don't know. We've had people walk up our driveway before. Luckily, I knew the guy one time, and he had run out of gas right down the road. So he knew where we lived and walked down. I'm like, who is this walking down this? Oh, it's Chris. I forget who the other person was. But it's a weird feeling.
Let's see. That's the cows. Maybe a horse. I always had horses growing up. Unless you ride them all the time, they're about the most useless farm animal.
Right, yeah. I mean, we could get a paint to plow the fields.
Gosh.
And then beat it to death when it doesn't...
I've seen that.
When it doesn't do the job to its...
Wasn't a paint horse, it was a quarter horse, but...
Oh, even smaller?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gosh, it's awful.
I like draft horses. They're just expensive to feed.
Right, yeah. Well, I see my uncle...
go ahead.
My uncle boards horses right down the road, too. So if you ever just want to ride a horse, there you go.
I mean... Yeah, I like draft horses and Belgians and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally pretty peaceful as long as they don't accidentally step on your feet.
I bet, yeah.
You're not ever supposed to wear steel-toed shoes working with them.
Because they can smash it.
Because, it'll curl and cut your toes off.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them break your toes.
I've only ridden a horse, I think, one time.
Oh, we read them. I read them in 5 states.
I did it at Camp Wilson.
We used to ride them through the Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
Oh, nice.
We used to ride horses. We'd seen elk and stuff like that on horseback.
Oh, nice. It was fun. I like riding them.
At Camp Wilson. Yeah, I do remember that, riding horses.
Mine was called Snickers.
I got a draft horse.
The big one, the Clydesdale?
The Clydesdale, yeah.
I remember that. I was right behind the Clydesdale. It stopped to take a pee right in front of me, and I was like mortified and impressed and in shock.
It's a lot of liquid they take.
It was a lot of liquid, and it came out of a very long tube. That I couldn't, my seventh grade mind couldn't believe.
Oh, and then a big pen for Moscovies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, that's going to be dangerous.
I'm already starting the army.
Don't you need I guess not. I don't know. So we're going to need like a little pond or something.
They don't need it, but yeah, you can.
It'd be nice, though.
So. Yeah, but I mean, my brother just put in there's little mini ponds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard. Oh, we want to do fish runs, too.
Yeah, and then fish runs. That's the ultimate goal at the end, then. Or not at the end, but another ultimate goal.
Yeah, an end of next year thing to start.
Having beef, chicken, fish. Pork, and fish would be pretty awesome, especially if you're just knowing what they're being fed.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important thing. Knowing what's all going into them. It just trying to make this lifestyle work in 2025 and modernly, and hoping other people will get inspired to do it too.
Yeah, I mean, guys... You ever think we're not serious about any of this stuff? I'm literally selling my house as a part of this process.
Right, it's happening.
I'm selling my ancestral home.
4 generations.
No,
5. 6. 7.
The kids are 6.
Oh, they're 6, okay.
I'm 5, yes.
You're 5, okay. Well, they didn't own it yet. They didn't buy it off yet.
No, but I mean living.
Yeah, they're living in there, though, yeah. That's nuts. Yeah, that's nuts.
But I'm really scared for them. Before, I never cared about what we ate. Like, I knew the toxic and all that. But it was just me,
it's different.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, it's different when other people are involved that you're for them, in charge of taking care of.
They have to live through this.
Right, yeah.
Whatever's coming down the pipe.
And the youth are the future of tomorrow. I mean,
the world's getting scary.
It's just getting crazy.
We try not to fearmonger.
No.
But... If I can instill into them the skills that I have been blessed to learn through my experiences of how to produce food efficiently and cleanly, I've been very blessed. I grew up on farms with livestock. My parents were very generous.
Bro. Well, agriculture.
Yeah, because they didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Ask my dad what he knew about birds when we went and bought our birds. Nothing.
Really?
I did it. Not that I did it all, but I did.
You figured it out. And
my dad built everything.
Right.
And I figured out how to do it.
Makes sense.
And I mean, he was really good with pigs. My mom was really good with pigs.
Yeah.
That's what my mom did for 4-H when she was a kid.
Oh, okay. So she had a little bit of experience.
Oh, she loved pigs.
Yeah.
She was very good with pigs. My brother extremely excelled at goats.
Did your mom ever do that thing where they take the little whip and you stare at the pig like really aggressively?
That's how you show pigs.
Yeah.
No, you stare at the judge. You do not ever look at the pig.
Oh, okay. You stare at the judge.
Yeah.
Okay.
You never take your eyes off the judge.
Why?
It's just a part. So showmanship, if you really, oh gosh, hit the mic. If you really want to know, every animal class is different for showmanship.
Okay.
But for that, that is having absolute control of your pig, which is very hard to do.
Okay.
You're not actually hitting them, people say.
Well, I know, yeah.
But you're tapping them,
mm-hmm.
And you're picking the sides of their head, the jowls,
because mm-hmm.
they really don't have any nerve endings in it. It's mm-hmm. really tough skin.
Mm-hmm.
If they were still fighting for mates and all that stuff, it's where they jab into each other.
Gotcha.
It's just a, you know, but you're keeping them, you're supposed to keep walking in circles. Pigs love to stop. They love to get in corners. They love to root. So it's, if you work with that pig through the year, though, that pig will keep walking in circles. It knows the deal.
Yeah.
So with your ability to stare at the judge while you're doing those actions shows that you've spent all year working with this pig and getting it so good and so comfortable.
You don't even have to look at it.
You don't even have to look at it.
Gotcha.
So that's what the staring at it is. Hmm. That's why if you, everybody, that girl is famous for it. She doesn't smile. Oh, yeah. Because it's the same. So poultry showmanship, you are supposed to look at the judge. You're not supposed to take your eyes off the judge unless you're in the middle of the examination.
Okay.
So when you're in the show arena for poultry, and same with pigs, and pretty much everything you show, you, the second you're in the arena, even if the judge is not talking or looking directly at you, you are being judged.
Okay.
So you, like, our big glasses have 30 kids. I tell them all, you always look at that judge. I know it's going to get boring because you're going to be up there for a half hour, but he's judging. He'll look, or she'll look down the line and write down who's not paying attention, who's looking at grandma, who's staring at their feet.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
The whole time you're in there, a show arena, the second you walk in,
you're on trial, basically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Makes sense.
You're putting on a it's for the show.
Right, yeah.
What were we just talking about?
Fish runs and...
Oh, it's catfish is definitely the one I want to start with.
Okay.
They're just easy. Catfish and tilapia, but you can keep brood stock of catfish easier than you can of tilapia.
Because they get too cold in our biome.
But I have the mini fish farm already built, so we do it in the garage, that to keep breeding stock tilapia alive.
Oh, yeah, that's a possibility.
And then just they'll breed in the spring and just scoop the babies and go dump them in the run.
Shoot, yeah, because we could do that up front in the back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That would be in, like, the garage, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, in, I guess, my garage now.
Oh, and we don't, no, it could, it'd be back there. Oh,
okay.
I like watching it, because if something happens, I can go and fix it
quickly. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, having fish on 24/7 on hand, that would be awesome. Hey, I know it's exciting. It's exciting. A lot of potential.
Yeah, and then what else? It's root cellar, mushroom house, obviously big gardens. So the whole edge in my head, and like I said, this is a work by committee, I guess.
Right, yeah. We're going to flesh out the best idea.
The fruit trees, you always plant them in roughly threes, and that's for genetic stability and genetic resilience.
Okay.
And then all in a row. But I want to do that whole edge
in
fruit trees. And then underneath the fruit trees, do the berries.
Nice. Okay.
So there's like, it's a fence, even though it's not a fence.
Right.
It's essentially a fence.
It's a living fence.
Yeah. Because that's where the berries want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit trees like it. So we've got this idea in horticulture and agriculture that plants don't like each other.
Right. Yeah.
Any environment, you never find one type of plant. Trees do not, most species of fruit tree do not like exposed roots.
Okay.
They, because it's poor water retention.
Mm-hmm.
It's unhealthy. They can get diseases and fungus better. So you cover their roots with something that you know doesn't get that tall, but grows thick.
Mm-hmm.
So the berries. So basically, as we start working our way down that ditch with fruit trees, you just keep putting berry trees or berry bushes under them.
Gotcha.
And the berries don't want to, most of the time, don't want to be in full direct sunlight 24/7.
Right.
If you go in the woods and you look where berries mostly grow, and we're talking boysen, black, and raspberry, they are on the edges of woods.
Yep.
But they're never out in the open.
And they're never
fully shaded.
Buried, yep. Buried in the bottom of it.
like how I have this my house now designed is that those get the ones in the front yard get morning light and the ones in the backyard get evening light.
Mm-hmm.
But they only get like 3, maybe 4 hours of light.
Each, yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's, direct, yeah. Yeah,
direct. But they are always getting secondary light.
Right.
And then you can even do pawpaws that way. Pawpaws do not like being in the sun. If anybody's out, I just talked about pawpaws this weekend with people. If you like pawpaws, do never, ever plant them in full sun.
Nope.
They will burn. They will die.
Mm-hmm.
My third starter just died because it was getting too much sun.
Oh, gotcha. But one in the corner there. Yeah,
but the two that are doing good are the ones that don't ever get any sunlight.
Right, yeah, they're doing great. I'm actually shocked how well they're... They got full leaves.
I mean, one leaf is like a foot long.
They got,
and yeah, it's like a two-foot-tall tree.
Right, yeah. So it's got full-size leaves. Yeah. It's crazy.
So they're doing good.
Ooh, I'm going to try... We should try a bonsai pawpaw.
Did you see... I won't say his name, but my neighbor has bonsai buckeye trees.
No, I did not see
in
that.
In his front garden.
I did not.
When we leave here in a minute, go look.
What side, north or south here?
Okay. South.
Okay, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, bonsai or bonsai buckeyes.
That's pretty cool.
I just realized, because I was sitting there today, like, when I went and get coffee.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? A buckeye tree?
Yeah.
And it is. It's a little decorative buckeye tree.
That's pretty cool.
I want to do hazelnuts. I got hazelnuts here.
Ooh, there's a lot of, what is it called?
Hickory?
Hickory nuts.
What'd you say? Shaggy hickory?
Shagged hickory. Yeah. A lot of shagged hickory around us there, so.
I don't know how to process hickory.
Me either, but I found an awesome lady I shared on Facebook, or not Facebook, on YouTube, her channel. It's a little old lady that shows you.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome. Yes, it's awesome. We'll have to get her on the show.
Because I know hazelnuts are, out of all the nuts, the softest and the easiest to process.
Okay.
And they grow super easy.
Yeah.
I've done nothing with the four I planted.
Okay.
And they're fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, nothing. I put them in the ground.
And forgot it.
And I don't trim around them. I don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. And it grows fine.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if I've ever, I've never seen a hazelnut tree growing.
I have. I just can't remember where.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some pecans.
Maybe.
You ever seen a pecan tree?
Yeah.
Massive.
And they grow drupes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a nut.
Is that what it's called? A droop?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm thinking cashews.
Cashews. You're talking about, yeah, cashews have the thing on the outside.
My bad. Yeah. That's a droop. Pecans. Duh. I'm an idiot. Yeah. No, I don't think I know a pecan tree around here.
They're not very common up here. I don't know. Huh. They may not be able to handle the climate. I don't know.
Maybe not. But I mean, there's plenty of, we'll find a bunch of natives too.
Oh, no, I like natives because we need to survive out there.
We also need to we need to plant some of those trees too.
100%.
Like native pine.
A bunch of bees.
Oh, pine trees too for pine pollen. Oh, gosh, yeah. My one tree.
Those definitely got to be on the east side.
Oh, is that mess with you?
No, it does mess with other people, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I collected some of it this year.
What were you making with it?
I didn't make anything with it because I just seen that lady talking about it in that video. And she's like, what'd she say? Early June, like late May, early June, when the pine, I'm like, that's right now. So I'm like, well, we got some of those eastern, like literally the same eastern white pine. So mm-hmm. I went out in the backyard. Some of them are further along than the others. Like she said, they come in cycles. So like the one I grabbed and shook and it was just a little too far. Barely anything came off it. The next tree over it just tapped one of the branches.
Like snow?
And, yeah, a cloud poofed off it. And I'm like, holy. So I just grabbed a couple of the pine cones just to peel them. And I had a handful of pine pollen.
What did you do with it?
Snorting it and rubbing it in my gums and behind my ears. And what is it? It's a suppository. Oh, I felt like $1 million. I was flying.
What are you supposed to do with it?
It's just like a superfood. You can mix it in with your foods.
Oh, you can eat it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a superfood.
I didn't know what the purpose of collecting it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's for to eat, consume, okay. Yeah. It's supposed to be really good for you.
I believe it. I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you can do candy pine cones, but I don't know which pine species that's with.
That's
a big thing
sure.
in Scandinavia and like Canada.
And you can make pine pop. Have you seen that?
I have.
Yeah, that's
well, you can also kill yourself with that.
How so?
There's a toxin. It's the same thing with making moonshine or anything like that. That there is sometimes a, like, not botulism, but some kind of bacterium that gets in there that doesn't produce the right thing.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Except
so that's
it does
in the that's in the bottling process, though, not the pine tree.
No, it's not in the pine tree, yeah.
Right.
It's in the fermentation.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, as long as we get that down pat.
Yeah, it's just like...
Pine pop.
Like Jeremy Clarkson's when all of his beer started exploding.
Explode, yeah. Too much.
Well, there was a contaminant. Mm. It was a bacteria that wasn't supposed to be in there.
Gotcha.
Because it reactivated the yeast in it. Because it was the bacteria was producing sugar.
Right, exactly. So the yeast were...
They reactivated.
Yes. Overeaten, basically. Over-farting.
Definitely want to do bees.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
We'll do that on the very end, past the pastures.
Yeah.
Far away.
Maybe all the way against that one field where that butts up against that other property.
That's what I was talking.
Yeah, all the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let that guy deal with them.
I mean, they're flying. I mean, the beekeeper I know would go out there and just, I mean, he never wore a suit.
Well, yeah, you don't need to as long as they are familiar with you mm-hmm. and you're not, like, tearing them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bees are generally calm as long as you're calm. And again, not destroying them, they're going to be fairly calm. But, yeah, we need bees. We need pollinators.
I do love to do a big butterfly garden.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, we'll just see how this goes. But that's basically what we're the next move for the shack and for for the shack. That's the plan moving forward. So big changes, and we want to share it with all you guys to watch the process so you have the confidence to do it yourself. Because we're literally going to be doing it from scratch. So, I just hope this inspires others, and I hope it's an enjoyable journey to watch, or hopefully we can make it enjoyable or entertaining and informative information that we can give you.
I think it will be, because it's, like I said, I don't ever want to fearmonger.
No.
But the world is getting crazy. I worry because many of us have lost the ability and the understanding of where food comes from
mm-hmm.
and how to grow food
mm-hmm.
and how you can do that and still be connected with nature.
Right.
As the whole point of this property is obviously to produce food for us, our families, and even maybe set up a farm store.
Right, yeah. Or community.
A community farm store or whatever, something. Or community, like food market, whatever.
Food market, yeah. All that. Farmers market, all that stuff.
But also to integrate nature into the homestead.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, everything from the bees to pollinators to giving habitat and little rock pools for snakes.
Right, yeah. Making the environment for these things to thrive.
Back to them.
Right.
We're going to do a whole episode on fireflies at some point. But we talked about it this past weekend. That there's a group of entomologists, bug people,
right,
that believe the generation of our kids, me and your kids, you know, so people in their 30s, their kids.
People alive now with kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
The kids right now.
Will be the last generation to ever see fireflies.
Which is nuts.
In the last two decades, a little bit over 95% of firefly populations have been decimated.
Yeah, let's keep spraying chemicals and everything. Let's do that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before, the silent extinction, mass extinction.
The bug apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. You know, out of all the other mass extinctions, never one's bothered them.
Right.
This one.
Is. Huh. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Really weird that meteor impacts and giant volcanoes haven't bothered them, but microplastics,
I was going to say, but DuPont does.
DuPont does.
DuPont is more powerful than
a continent spewing volcano.
Right, right. More devastating than that. Ain't that? Then that puts things in perspective.
They just found. We'll do a full episode of microplastics too. But we're just dissecting deep sea isopods,
mm-hmm.
and they found a bunch in their brains.
Yeah. Well, we're just, you know, mega corporations. Good for the environment. They don't care. They don't give a crap about any of that stuff. They don't care. They don't care about people. They don't care about health. They don't care about you. They care about money. They just need money. And that's all they want, and that's all they care about, and that's what makes them thrive. But we don't. We care about you, and we care about your body and your sovereignty. All my fightings, government denies. Take long nights, you through the lies. Flat earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mail's whole, a mystery unsolved.
governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies, that's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mills hold up a mystery unsolved. Through our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.